We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great spirits of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO. Currently 68 degrees, humidity is 31, the wind's out of the southwest at 12 miles an hour, and dew point's at 36. We have a visibility of 10 miles, imagine that. Now, there's nothing like getting machine gun with Texas from your wife before the show starts over laundry. So I have this really nice set of Cabela's Extreme Cold Weather long underwear that I had from when I worked in North Dakota. Sends me a picture of it. Question is, you been smoking? Looks like a burn hole in your long underwear shirt. And I said, I'm sure if I had, you'd have smelt it. No, it's worse now. And you got to understand, my wife has a nose of a bloodhound. She can smell stuff on me from a mile away. I've quit hugging women, even old women, my aunt's stuff, just because I don't want her to question me on it. And I said, then she says, well, it's worse now. What is that hole? Did you weld in it? I said, nope. Then you're smoking. I'll see if I can sew it up. And then I get the big question. Did your mama get on to you about taking care of your clothes? Were you already getting dirty, holy, ripped, torn, etc.? Wow, that hole's been in there since last year when I was actually over welding on some lots in West Side Elk City. So, yeah, it was done, but not today. You didn't specify that in the question. Well, anyway, we'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you later in the show. If you guys missed the show yesterday, you can go listen to it a couple different ways. On Facebook, on KCO FM on Facebook, and then, or go to our website, KCOFM.com, and click on Today in Ag, and click on yesterday's show with Kent Watkins. He had some really good things to talk about where, you know, honestly, farmers and ranchers have a lot of things to think about for the future, especially next year. With chemicals going up and the seed going up, fuel going up, fertilizer's almost tripled. So you got some thinking to do on how to achieve your goals for next year and still make money. Because even with farm subsidy payments from the FSA, they are going to start going down in the near future. According to what they're saying in Washington, subsidy checks are going to be start being cut back unless of it because of a disaster. So you got lots of things to think about. And Kent had some really good points yesterday about how you can actually make some of your own nitrogen for your ground. Think ahead of your crops, and it's on every ag website about the cost, what's going on, what are you going to do next year? Are we going to have more soybeans and wheat ground, more wheat planted next year than corn because corn uses so much fertilizer and blah, 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 blah. But really go back and listen to that show when you get a chance, and listen to some of those pointers Kent was talking about. Or you're probably getting them on your emails and stuff from different ag agencies. But, man, I'm not going to say it's a totally difficult road ahead, but it's not going to be a good road ahead. How's that? I don't want to sound like pessimistic, but it's coming. But, well, wheat prices regained a little bit overnight. As of 11 a.m., hard red winter wheat was $8.10, so it rebounded nicely from yesterday. Corn's at $5.75 a bushel, Milo's at $5.78 a bushel, soybeans at $11.79, and cotton hanging in there at $1.09 per pound on its cash prices. Wheat futures jumped in overnight trading as extreme drought creeps into the southwestern Kansas amid ongoing concerns about global supplies. They forgot to put Oklahoma in here. But anyway, the western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle are already in D3. So a small portion of southwestern Kansas is now facing extreme drought conditions, where the larger portion is seeing severe drought, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Only 0.6% of the state is experiencing extreme drought, the second worst rating on the monitor scale. But that's up from 0% the previous week and the 3 months earlier. About 6.1% of the state is facing severe drought conditions, up from 4.4% a week earlier and 0.8% 3 months ago, according to the Drought Monitor. Egypt, the biggest importer of the grain, bought 600,000 metric tons of wheat from international supplies for delivery in January, according to the county's General Authority for Supply Commodities. The purchase comes as Russian wheat prices continue to rise and the country imposes export duties on shipments to ensure domestic supply. Russian wheat exports fell 17% from July 1st to November 25th from the same year, same time last year. Wouldn't that be something if Russia had to buy wheat from us? That'd be cool. I think that'd be great. Still, the Australian Bureau of Agriculture and Resource Economics and Science said Monday that it expects a record wheat crop. The forecast comes despite excessive rainfall in the country that led to losses and quality issues. Researcher Grow Intelligence said in a report that it believes the outlook for a record crop is very misguided in Australia. Production will fall sharply from last year and come in below the ABARES estimates, according to Grow Intelligence. Cooler than normal temperatures in eastern Australia have reduced wheat yield prospects, according to Grow's model. Heavy rains in the region could further compromise crop quality and production. Wheat futures for December delivery jumped 14.5 cents to $8.05 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 15 cents to $8.34 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery were up 6 cents to $5.77 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery added 5.75 cents to $12.34 a bushel. Soy meal rose $2.10 to $3.51.20 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.53 cents to $0.5571 cents a pound. Ethanol output plunged to the lowest level in 7 weeks while inventories climbed last week, according to the Energy Information Administration. Production of biofuel in the 7 days that ended on November 26 averaged 1.035 million barrels a day, according to the EIA. That's down from 1.079 million barrels a week earlier and the lowest level since October 8. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output plunged to an average of 978,000 barrels a day, and that's down from a little over a million barrels a day the previous week, and also lowest since October 8. Production of the West Coast dropped to 7,000 barrels a day from 10,000 barrels a day. That was entirety of the decliners for the week, however. East Coast output was unchanged at 12,000 barrels a day, and Rocky Mountain production remained at 11,000 barrels a day for the fourth straight week. Gulf Coast production was the lone riser for the week, jumping to an average of 27,000 barrels a day, and that's up from 22,000 barrels a day in the largest level since October 25th of 2018. Stockpiles, meanwhile, jumped to 20.301 million barrels in the week through November 26. That's from up a little bit from 20.164 million a week earlier. Last week's level marked the highest since the week that ended September 3rd, according to the EIA. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk. We got so much to talk about today. I don't even know where to start. But I will talk about the crop progress report, my next segment. But we're going to start it out with the Jimmy's adventures at the coffee shops this week. I visit two or three of them. And man, I got some stories to tell you. And I'm only going to name one of the people. The rest of them, they'll remain anonymous just to protect them. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. Back, nothing's changed on the weather. Still 68 degrees, winds out of the south southwest at 12 miles an hour. And I'm glad I just moved my side row four times instead of five, because I'm going from the west to the east. And if I'd have went west, not thinking about the wind getting up today, I might have missed a strip through there on my deal. But being the smart guy that I am, I only moved it four times, so I should have plenty of overlapping coverage. What else we got here before we go? Okay, here we go. Winter weed ID and herbicide meeting will be December 7th from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. at the Beckham County Fair Barn in Sayre. Speakers will be Gary Strickland, OSU Southwest Area Agronomist, and Josh Bouchon, I hope I say that right, OSU Northwest Area Agronomist. Two CEU credits will be available. Please RSVP at the Extension office there in Sayre with Zach Henderson at 928-2139 or email him at zach.henderson@okstate.edu. So that means, yep, two CEU credits just for an hour. So get there, listen to Gary and Josh, and let's get it all going. Hey, speaking of winter wheat ID, I found this pretty interesting. The weed of the week is thistles. You know, the number one complaint I hear about neighbors against neighbors is this guy down the road here got these Russians, got these thistles all over his place. He's not doing nothing about it. And then the county ain't taking care of this over here and blah, 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 on the must thistles or whatever. So anyway, here's your Jimmy fact of the week. If left uncontrolled, thick thistle stands can reduce grazing and result in less forage production. A single thistle plant can produce at least 4,000 seeds, which increases the chance for a higher thistle populations in the pasture for the following year. Consequently, management practices need to be conducted prior to flower formation for effective thistle control. Even if thistles have not infested your pasture in the past, it is ideal that your pastures are scouted in late fall through mid-spring, November to March, to ensure that thistles do not get out of control. New infestations are easier to manage than large-scale populations. And that's true fact right there. There's no fake news in that statement right there. Although there are several different species of thistle in Texas and Oklahoma, most closely related and controlled recommendations will not differ. Best time to control with a herbicide is when the thistles are in their rosette stage. The rosette stage is when the thistle forms a low-growing ring of leaves. As they mature, they are harder to control and may require higher rates of herbicide to have effective control. Well, when I that place that I have down in west of Willow, down in the Breaks, when I first got it, there was no thistles in the pasture. And then I don't know if I brought it in with the hay. I don't think I did. But those thistles can fly miles. I've been gone for a while. And when I got out there on the Ranger and I noticed them, they was already way big. They was already growing their stem upwards. They wasn't in that rosette stage. Only thing I found to get them and hammer them before they seeded, I mixed a little bit of Roundup and diesel together and took a hand sprayer out there and just sprayed the plant itself, and it hammered them. I mean, it got them good. But you have all kinds of herbicide options. Weedmaster 2,4-D, Grazon Next HL, Remedy, Pasture Guard, Cimarron Max for Bermuda grass pastures will control them. Remember, the label is the law, so always read the pesticide label before using. There you go. There's your Jimmy helpful comment of the week. Well, before I get to this crop progress, I have to tell you about, we'll call it Jimmy's Adventures to the Round Tables at the coffee shops. Well, the other day, I went in there to one of them. I'm not even going to say where I was going. But anyway, I went into there, one of them. And most of them are older gentlemen. I mean, I'm 60, but these guys are old. Anyway, I noticed one of them passed some stuff over to the other one. And he's like, oh, thank you. And I said, what was that? And it was drugs, you know. And I'm not talking about cocaine or anything like that. But anyway, that led into another conversation. But it was... you had to have been there to enjoy the fact that there was some 65 to 80 year old men in there passing drugs out like it was candy. So it was actually funny. And don't get me wrong, Law. Don't be going over and hanging out at a coffee shop anywhere. Wasn't that kind of drugs, but it was pretty funny to hear the stories behind it and where they come from. It's all legal. So, I mean, it was all legal, but it was hilarious. Then this morning, this is the only one I'm going to name. The preacher, he was sitting at the table, and there was three or four of us sitting there talking, and he was asking where this other farmer told him where there was a bunch of junk cars at, and the preacher loves junk cars and trucks. So he says, where's it at? And he said, you know, you go north of Foss and get on get on the highway that cuts across over to Clinton. He said, where's that at? And I said, well, if you get to Foss Dam, you went too far. You just go east on Modell. And they said it was down there about a mile and a half. And preacher was looking confused. So I got on my Onyx map on my phone. And it identifies landowners. It doesn't give out phone numbers or nothing. But anyway, I found where those junk cars was with the satellite view, and I said, here's the landowner. I told him the landowner's name, and another gentleman, Mr. Dance, was sitting next to me, and the preacher goes, hey, got a phone number? What's the Onyx doesn't give out the phone number, so anyway, I could see I can't remember exactly what Mr. Dance said, but anyway, I said, yeah, 580-225-9696, and you can't call till after 10 a.m. And we was trying to hold a straight face, but we couldn't because that's tradio. So anyway, preacher was mad at me before he left because I was trying to get him to call into tradio. So it was, anyway, yes, had been there. It was funnier than heck. So here we go. Let's get off that before I get in any more trouble than I already am. Crop progress for, let's go with Oklahoma on cotton. 78% of the cotton is completed as of November 28th, and it's ahead by 2% from the average for the last five-year average, which was at 76%, and well ahead of the 2020 cotton harvest. So it's getting along really well, so percent's getting along. And then in Texas, cotton harvest is 81% done, and it's increased by 11% since last week. So this good weather has been helping, even though we need some rain, but it's way ahead of their five-year average, which was of 69%. I got to read this, because who in the heck ever thought Kansas would be growing cotton? And I seen it up there last year when we went up there hunting. I was just like, where are these round bales of cotton doing out here in Kansas? So anyway, they caught on to it. 60% done in Kansas, and that's intact with what it was the last 5 years, 60% being done. Sorghum harvest, Oklahoma, we're 95% complete, and that's well ahead of the 2016 to 2020 average of about 94%. Texas is 100% done across the board with their sorghum, according to this crop progress from the USDA. Let's see here. Peanuts. Oklahoma's 95% done, and that's a couple percent ahead of the last five-year average. Texas is 89%, and they're 1% ahead of the last five-year average. Winter wheat emerged. Oklahoma, 95% winter wheat has emerged, and that's about a percent ahead of what the five-year average is. Texas at 80% emerged, and that's about even with what it, they're just right on schedule according to the USDA here. Winter wheat condition, here's the part I don't like, and this was all ending last week. Oklahoma, very poor, 5%, poor, 11%, fair, 36%, good, 45%, excellent, 3% of the winter wheat that is planted, that's the percentage. In Texas, 18% of it's very poor, 27% is poor, fair. In Texas, 35%, 15% is good, and 5% is excellent. I'm gonna read these others off because I think they're interesting. Topsoil moisture condition in Oklahoma, very short is 20%, short is 39%, adequate is at 40%, and a surplus, there's 1% of the state of Oklahoma that's in surplus. Subsoil moisture condition in Oklahoma, very short, 15%, short 43. I can tell you where that 43% is, right out here in western Oklahoma, unless you got irrigation. Adequate is at 41%, surplus is at 1. In Texas, 15% on subsoil moisture is short, 50% is very short, and subsoil moisture is adequate is at 31, and they have a surplus of 51%. So anyway, there's some of your crop progress reports that I try to get in there once a month, and when we get back, we'll get there, we'll talk some cotton, and then we'll save cattle for my last segment because I got the Hobart stockyards report from yesterday, and I'm going to update you a little bit on El Reno at the OKC West. Looks like everything's still looking pretty good, and we're going to have a fight in here with this fly. So when I get back, we'll be talking about that. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 29. 1,378 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 416 brought 195. 22 at 586 brought 172. 12 at 672 brought 163.50. 15 at 696 brought 154. 5 at 731 brought 155. 3 at 882 brought 135. 6 head of heifers at 367 brought 177. 15 at 419 brought 183. 18 at 561 brought 141.50. 7 at 642 brought 134. 4 at 716 brought 125. 6 at 795 brought 145.50. Butcher cows were 4 to 73. Butcher bulls 60 to 98. Bred cows 300 to 1275. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the beef sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or 5 tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm going to kill this fly if it's the last thing I do. We're back. Hang on here. Bear with me. I was busy swatting at the fly. Hang on there a second. Looks like we're still 68 degrees and wind. I'm going to check this out because that thing does not look like it's changed. Make sure everything's looking good here. Let's go. Yeah, that's what I thought. 73 degrees now. Winds are out of the south-southwest at 9 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to 12 miles an hour. So hang on to your hat out there. Nathan Brewer, dew points 32, and the humidity is 22%. So it's dry out there. Be careful welding. The winds aren't that high right now, but just be careful out there doing any cutting, welding, trash fires, tree stump piles the whole night. Just be very careful out there. Okay, I have a few things to talk about. First, annual membership meeting will be at the Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City, Oklahoma, December 16th. That's a week from, well, that'd be 2 weeks from today, won't it? Anyway, 2 weeks from today, Thursday, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m., and it'll be at the co-op there at South 20, 720 South Main in Elk City, Oklahoma. So they'll have, they're having their annual membership meeting there. So, of course, they have it during my show, so I can't attend it and see if I made any money in the last year. But anyway, Christmas giveaway. 4 businesses are giving away a $500 gift certificate to their store. Rogers Meat Market, Bob Wire and Lace, the Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet, and Dameron Jewelries. Find the store's QR code, open your iPhone camera app, hold the camera steady on the code, then follow the instructions. You can enter at each store once every day. It's $500 at each one of these stores, and it's not going to take you but about 10 seconds to get that code on your phone. Follow the instructions and get it done. Money means a lot. Means a lot more these days. The Rogers Meat Market giveaway will be this Friday, and I think if I'm looking up here right, yeah, we got a live remote out there this Friday from 10 to 12. So Sean Wilson's going to be out there. Bob Wire and Lace is Thursday, December 16th. Friday the 17th for the Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet. Remember, we got a deal going. If you win that $500, I get a pair of boots out of it. Twisted X is what I wear, size 11. So anyway, in case you need to know. And Dammer Jewelries on, Jewelers on Saturday, December 18th. 4 businesses, each giving $500 gift certificate. So make sure you get in part of it. Got any questions, give me a text in on the text line. Appreciate it. Looks like there was a lot of you guys listening on the website yesterday or watching the show yesterday. Thank you very much. I need that. I didn't get any points of view or advice with my email this morning for my favorite person in there that sends out the emails from Penny News. But we had a lot of listeners yesterday, so I appreciate it on the website, not on the radio, but on the website. So I appreciate it a bunch. Cotton, you guys ready? Summertime weather conditions that started dry but got much-needed boost from abundant July rainfall helped southwestern Oklahoma and western Oklahoma cotton crop recovery nicely in time for the harvest in October and November, says the producers. Jackson County's farmers, I hope I say this right, Keith Felty and Clint Abernathy, rated their cotton harvests as being above average compared to production levels in the past. Typically, we worry about weather conditions, but this year has been more about pandemic-related supply chain issues and rising prices of inputs such as fertilizer, diesel fuel, and the like, essentially everything but seed. Felty, a fourth-generation cotton farmer who earned his bachelor's and master degrees in agriculture economics from Oklahoma State University in 1989 and 1991, respectively. Felty said him and his stepmother, Natalie Wheeler, have been agribusiness partners for 26 years. They have been stockpiling equipment parts and other supplies as they can. They've had to look as far away from Houston for some of them. Abernathy, another fourth-generation cotton producer who farms with his two sons and son-in-laws, said 2021 was a tale of two management options for their operation. And you guys know, last couple months, we've been talking about management options, and you got to get serious about it. It's crazy out here. We grow both dry land and irrigated cotton, the latter of which relies on mostly furrow irrigation, though we have been moving gradually to more drip irrigation over the years. There was a point this past summer when we simply didn't have enough water to irrigate properly. The lake that is our water source was way below its normal level, but then the skies opened up in July and continued to rain off and on in August. So it worked out well enough to produce a decent crop. And you guys know, since the start of the show, even before I was just doing those updates, I kept you guys updated on the irrigation lake, which is the Altus Lugard Lake. And if anybody hasn't been down there in a while, it's sad. It's 15%, maybe down into 14%. I haven't checked in a couple weeks, but we got some farm ground out there across the river bridge by North Beach. And when I went across there day before yesterday, you can't even see the water from the highway going into Granite. So it's pretty sad. So this is one of the things that they were going to deal with. And they got lucky. We got some good rains this summer, which was abnormal when they happen. Usually it's April and June, or May and June, but this year was basically July and parts of August. A relatively dry, mild, and sunny September followed the rainfall, allowed the cotton to mature exactly as Oklahoma producers need it. Some cotton fields began to have cracked bulbs by mid-September, earlier than most analysts expected. Analysts and producers recognized the high yields weren't likely to happen given weather conditions at the start of the growing season, said Seth Bird, OSU Extension cotton specialist. We've seen the crop fruit higher up in the plant than it normally does. The cotton looks good visually, but it took longer to fruit and the effect that affects the yields. Bird recently provided additional information and experts' insights about the Oklahoma 2021 crop on the Ag television program Sun Up. And I know a lot of you guys watch that from time to time, and he's sharp. This kid's sharp. During the harvest, winter conditions became the primary concern, he said. However, we had some high wind and storm events in the Oklahoma cotton seemed to have come through fairly well. It's evident the crop has been rained on, but we haven't seen indications of significant yield loss. Harvesting delays have been minimal. As of November 8th, about 50% of the Oklahoma cotton crops have been harvested, with nearly 100% of the irrigated cotton already harvested. The ratio typical for Oklahoma, according to the market statistics, dry land cotton tends to be the later maturing varieties. Prices for 41-434 cotton, desired destinations for color, leaf grade, and staple, respectfully, is at $1.13, which I just rattled it off earlier. It's at $1.09. We've seen it up to $1.21 this year already, in the last 2 weeks, actually. Increase from 90 cents per pound from last year. The Oklahoma 10-year average price for cotton is 67 cents per pound. Cotton is Oklahoma's fourth largest export behind oil, gas, and wheat. Although total acre numbers committed to growing cotton can vary widely from year to year, in 2018, for example, 780,000 acres were reported, compared to 305,000 acres reported in 2016. Cotton is planted in May and harvested in October and November. It is one of the more expensive crops to produce, in part because improved disease-resistant varieties and equipment needed to care for the harvest can be very costly. A new cotton harvester costs around $1 million. Get you some of that. Yeah, I'm talking to a gentleman that I respect. I highly respect him on his advice, and he won't come on my show. So I get to just to repeat some of the stuff that he says, and I won't name him off. I'm going to keep him anonymous. But they, one of those $1 million cotton harvesters, he says you need to have at least 1,000 acres, minimum of 1,000 acres of cotton to be able to afford one of those. And reason being, it costs about $6 and something cents an acre for that machine. So you need to make that to pay that one payment. And I don't know if that included, knowing him, it included some maintenance and any other programs you got going with that harvester. But you got to have $1,000. So basic, or 1,000 acres. If you don't have 1,000 acres, just get it custom stripped. It'll be just fine. Anyway. Let's see, what time is it? 12:44. Well, one more thing before I go back to break. Oh, I already said that one. There we go. We're good. I was talking about the co-op at Elk City with their meeting coming up December 16th. That's right. Is that right? Yep, December 16th, Thursday at the co-op, the annual membership meeting. I already said that. Be right back after this. It's Today at Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right, our Long Ranger that is sponsored by Hobart Farm and Garden every day. Do you see that ad in the new Penny News? The new Penny News came out today. Go get your copy. You open that page up, and it's a full page in there with Hobart Farm and Garden. They got the shotguns, the pistols, the brownie, everything. Man, it's awesome to have. Check it out in the Penny News. There's all kinds of other good stuff in the Penny News, too. I'll go over that in a minute. 74 degrees right now. Winds out of the south-southwest at 9 miles an hour. 11 miles per hour gust. Today, mostly sunny, 78. Tomorrow, 77 with light winds. Cool front comes through tomorrow night. And now, Saturday, it was in the 50s. Now it's the 60s. But the wind will be out of the north, 10 to 15 miles an hour for a high 38. Low Saturday night, that's the coolest. Nope, Sunday night's the coolest at 29. Sunny and strong winds switching from the southwest to the out of the north at 6 to 20 miles an hour Sunday. So there's another cool front coming through. Monday, 50 degrees for the high. There's the cold day. Anyway, it was Saturday, so they've switched it around. So there's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ranger forecast. The WOFC 07 Fire Boys present Pancakes with Santa and the Grinch December 11th at 2021. That's this year from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it'll be at the Pepsi Center in Clinton, Oklahoma. Bring your own camera, breakfast, crafts, photo booth. Purchase tickets Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 301 North 4th Street in Clinton, Oklahoma. That is Pancakes with Santa and the Grinch, brought to you by, they present it by the WOFC 07 Fire Boys. Hey, if somebody knows what that WOFC means, I think I know what it means, but will you text that in to me, please, on the text line at 580-225-9697. WOFC, I want to know what that means. I know a lot of people over at Clinton. There you got it, have it. All right, the grain outlook into the year end. As we head into the last month of 2021 and look forward to 2022, there are many continuing unanswered questions for the grain market. Did the extreme heat during July and parched soils lower the U.S. corn crop even lower than trade is currently realizing? Did the beneficial August rains create a record yield for U.S. soybeans? With corn input prices so high, how many acres will be switched to soybeans in the spring? Wheat prices are strong. How many new acres of wheat will be planted in the United States coming up this crop year? All these important questions are keeping grain prices well supported, yet in limited trading ranges. Right now, fundamentally, wheat is the leader of the grain complex. Corn is in second place, with soybeans now the follower in terms of friendly. We have corn. Ending stocks for corn for the 2021 season are still substantially lower than 1 year ago. 1 year ago, trade was battling in the notion of 2.5 billion bushels of corn carry out and $3 corn. Ending stocks for the 2021 season are currently half of that, with the most recent USDA report pegging supplies at 1.236 billion bushels. Corn carryout is pegged at 1.5 billion bushels for the 21-22 crop year. As long as corn carryout for the 21-22 crop year does not get larger than 1.5 billion bushels, we may see $5.50 to $6 corn futures stick around for a while. With ending stocks for the 2021 season so tight, this is keeping corn futures supported and basis level strong. Also strong in the 22 futures December. Why? Because with extremely expensive input costs, the market is fearful the farmers will plant fewer corn acres in the spring. Many producers have told us the cost of their production for next year will be closer to $5 a bushel. December 2022 futures are trying to entice acres with prices slowly inching higher. Wow, $5 an acre, and you're getting $5.50 for it. So I guess you can Well, at 300 bushels, you can make $150 an acre there. Anyway, I'm going to skip the soybeans. Wheat, after finally working through the global glut of wheat supplies from previous years, wheat inventories are now on the opposite side of the spectrum with tight ending stocks, both here in the United States and around the world. Demand has remained strong. Enough countries around the world this summer had production issues, which is why ending stocks are now tight. Ending stocks in the United States for the 21-22 growing seasons are pegged at 580 million bushels. Nearly half the level is just a few years ago. Each category of wheat production is facing tight supplies. While there may be an increase of acres this year, concerns now rise regarding fertilizer availability and what they may do to final yields if less fertilizer is applied. In addition, the Northern Plains are not out of the drought yet, and they could be facing another growing season of limited precipitation. Wheat prices are likely to stay firm into the year end. As we progress, trade will continue to monitor these three things: the value of the U.S. dollar, U.S. demand for corn and soybeans, which is export biofuels and feed, and South American weather. Just remember, if perception is the ending stocks are growing, grain prices will continue to slide lower. However, if it's ending stocks are starting to go again, get tighter, this will be supportive for prices staying forward and going up from there. And that's your little grain blessing on the outlook. See what we got going on over here. You forgot. No, I didn't. He said you forgot to put your time and labor and fuel cost in there. I didn't do. I always do. Look at me. I can't even spell. Here we go. I buy books and send you score. Now you look at you. Hey, thank you. I'm glad you're just texting me. And somebody else text in. Relief out here spraying wheat ground. Ha! Yeah, no, I'm good. What are you spraying wheat ground for? Anyway, hopefully you don't have bugs. Surely not. But anyway, we'll get after that. We got one more thing. We got 5 minutes. We got some time. Oh, yeah, well, here we go. Yeah. You know how I try to help you guys out with your hay, improving your hay. I always try to help you improve. Not that I'm any good at it or not, but I'm a good book reader. Most agriculture economists argue that finding ways to minimize the amount of hay fed in a cow-calf enterprise is one of the keys to profitability. In contrast, over the last 50 years, hay production has steadily increased. While the beef cow inventory has remained relatively constant, during the same period, the dairy cow and horse inventories have declined a lot. For perspective, hay production per cow in Oklahoma has increased from 0.75 tons in the mid-70s to 2.25 tons per cow more recently. Thus, making efficient use of harvest hay continues to represent low-hanging fruit in both seed stock and commercial cattle operations. Feeding strategies for large bales can be separated into the use of a hay feeder and rolling bales out. A major advantage to rolling bales out is improved distribution of hay waste and manure over the pasture, which should lead to improved soil fertility. Remember, read the label on your jugs. If you spray your pastures, read the label on your jugs. Some of that stuff out there, you can spread that manure back into your pasture, but some of it you can't spread on your garden. Ask my old buddy Donnie Walker up there at Grimes what happened when he spread some pasture that he had sprayed graze on with, and he put it in his wife's tomato plants. Ask him how that worked out for him. Not good. Hoof action is also distributed over a large feeding area, and this could lead to less soil compaction or less sod plant damage compared to concentrated feeding areas associated with hay feeders. The disadvantage to relying on unrolling hay is a need to feed every day, as standing forage availability is limited. Hay waste is basically a function of the amount of hay provided for per animal per day. The more restricted the amount of hay fed, the lower the waste, and vice versa. In other words, if two or more days' worth of hay must be fed at a time, expect hay waste to exceed 25% of the original bale weight. Granted, the term waste may be considered a matter of perspective because the waste hay does provide soil nutrients and organic matter to the system, or it provides you a place to drive through when it's frozen or you think it's frozen and you get stuck. Hay waste when feeding is a large cost of most of our cow-calf production systems. So there you have it on your hay waste. Got one more thing. Hey, coming up this Friday, Elk City Livestock Auction is going to be happening. Monday, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be happening over there at Clinton. Got any questions, call Brandon Hickey, and he'll take care of anything you need for buying or selling. Hobart Stockyards, last thing before the show's over. From yesterday, steer weights, we're bringing, let's see what we got. Let's go with these 300-pounders. We're bringing $1.94.40. Some of them we're bringing up to $2.25. Five weights, $5.55 average, bringing up to $1.68 on the steers. Seven weights, we're bringing $7.30, was bringing up to $1.50. Heifers, $3.99 average, they brought $1.57. We got some $4.99, brought $1.64, and then they had some bulls, brought up to $99 per 100 weight, and some slaughter cows was bringing as high as 88 cents. Market's up, gentlemen. Get your stuff to the market. Christmas is coming up. Need to buy the wife some jewelry. And if you got any leftovers, contact me on the Ag Text line here at KCO, and I'll help you out spending it. So anyway, you guys have a great day, and God bless. This is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
And stay connected.
Check us out.
Stay connected
on Facebook.